Welcome to Autogrill 2014 financial results presentation.
Good afternoon and welcome to our 2014 financial results analyst meeting. As usual, I have to draw your attention to the disclaimer on page 2. All the numbers we will be referring to are on a constant exchange rate basis, unless we say otherwise. Given the group demerger has affected from the 1st of October 2013, the travel retail numbers are still included in our 2013 numbers according to the International Accounting Standard 5, are shown in a single line. Below profit from continuing operation in the group profit and loss, below net investing capital from continuing operation in the group balance sheet. Now let me hand over to Gianmario Tondato, our Group CEO, Alberto De Vecchi, our Group CFO, and Ezio Ballarini, Group Marketing Officer, who will take you through our results in detail. We will take your question from you at the end.
Thank you, Elisabetta. Good afternoon, everybody. Let me say that 2014 was a year of change, a year when we moved from operating against a headwind, and we moved in a situation in which the tailwind is a little bit stronger, so it's a positive year. Both changes in industry dynamics and actions were taken in terms of rationalizing our portfolio, winning new contracts, and operating changes. And this gives us the confidence for the year ahead, basically 2015. Before talking on how I see the landscape for the year, Alberto will take you through the 2014 numbers, which are, by the way, in line with expectations.
Thank you, Gianmario, and good afternoon to everybody. As Gianmario said, probably the numbers of 2014 did not surprise you because they were, in general, rather respected. And we have to say that we are pleased with the result that we achieved in the year. As usual, we start with HMS giving you some indications about the performance by geographic area. And as usual, I start with our main area, that is the area managed by HMS Host. And this year, reflecting the changes to our reporting, I will break it down into North America and international. We did this to give you more visibility on our international business. At the moment, international only accounts for around 7% of our group sales, but as it is growing fast and with accretive margins, we are confident it will give us a growing contribution to the future, in the future. So starting from North America, our sales at airports increased by 3.1%. Sales at U.S. airport grew on a comparable basis by 5.6% compared to a traffic growing by 2.7%. The overperformance has been driven by the increase in the number of transactions as well as in the average ticket, the latter being also benefited by a partial shift from QSR to table service dining. There have been a lot of talks about consequences of the so-called fracturing on our future growth capacity in North America. Having said that, fracturing is a normal characteristic in our industry and happens all around the world, in US as well as in Europe and in Asia, I have the impression that all these talks overshadow the strength of our group in North America and its ability to both recover sales in those airports where we have been reduced because of the fracturing and winning new concessions. In 2014, we have a good example of this. We fractured contracts, not losing sales anymore, and about $29 million of additional sales generated from the new contracts we have been awarded in Fort Lauderdale, Cleveland, and Philadelphia. That does not mean that fracturing does not have any implication on the industry and on our performance. It may build excess F&B capacity in the airports and in general makes our business more complicated to manage. In fact, the flow-through on EBITDA of our additional sales in North America airports has been around 15% in 2014, lower than the usual for HMS Host, due to fractured contracts, stable in sales, but not yet in terms of store cash flow. Motorway sales increased by 2.7%, a trend that we saw across the board, both in Canada and in the U.S. In more detail, in the U.S., sales rose by 2.3% in motorways over the year on a comparable basis, compared to traffic growing by less than 1% as at November 2014. North America EBITDA moved to about $269 million. If we were to exclude the one-off cost from both 2013 and 2014 and the contribution of the U.S. retail business until its disposal in September 2013, the EBITDA in North America would have increased by 6%, with an EBITDA margin moving from 10.9% to 11.3%. In 2014, we have seen improvement both in cost of goods sold and labor productivity. COGS benefited from sales mix, menu changes, and SKU streamlining that compensated for the sizable rise in raw material prices. As you know, to improve COGS, last year we launched the Food Buy Project, a new central buying platform. This project helps us managing this increase in raw material prices, although probably it's too early to try to quantify which contribution we may expect from it as we are still in the implementation phase. On labor, the additional sales and action taken on the hours have resulted in better productivity, which has allowed us to reduce cost of labor incidents on sales despite the increase in tariff. In North America, rents and royalties have remained stable. Now, moving to the other part of HMS Host, that is international. This business, as you know, is focused on the airport channel and covers both Northern Europe and countries in fast-growing geographies in Asia and Middle East, like Vietnam, Indonesia, Turkey, and the United Arab Emirates. In 2014, we had concentrated in international all the business we generate in Northern European airports, including certain assets, namely in the UK, Ireland, Sweden, and Denmark, where in 2013 we generated about €72 million in sales and €4.5 million in EBITDA that were previously reported in other European countries. So we had to restate the numbers of 2013 in order to make the comparison significant. Sales generated by international in this enlarged Northern Europe grew to €205 million, up about 15%, thanks to the strong performance at Amsterdam Airport, which grew by 6.3%, and the contribution from the newly awarded contracts in the UK and at Helsinki Airport. Sales generated by international in other geographies grew by around 39%, driven by the expansion of our operations in Vietnam and Turkey, and our new operations in Indonesia and at St. Petersburg Airport. That generated additional sales of around $18 million. EBITDA was close to $47 million, an increase of nearly 18% over 2013. Notwithstanding the temporary inefficiency generated by the many awards and openings, HMS Host International enjoys today the strongest EBITDA in the margin in the group at 12.6% on sales. Now moving to Europe, 2014 has been a year of stabilization that has allowed us to proceed with more vigor on the path we had taken to improve our profitability in the area. In Italy, we show a reduction of our sales by 5.4%, but this is for contracts that we have decided to terminate because they were unprofitable, or to not renew to make our network more efficient. But on the same perimeter, our Italian sales have slightly grown by 0.4%. Motorway sales declined by 2.9% due to our exit in July from stores that we did not renew. You certainly remember our selective approach to the tenders on the Italian motorways, aimed at enhancing our return on investment. We have submitted the offer and retained about 70% of our sales under renewal, and have now a portfolio in Italy with a length of over 14 years. Further evidence of the stabilization is that we are closing the gap between our performance and traffic. In 2013, with traffic falling by 1.7%, we saw our sales declining by 6%. Last year, in 2014, traffic increased by 0.9% and our sales grew by 0.4%. We accomplished this through an improvement in the snack bar offering that now included new products more in line with actual customer spending attitude and effective marketing campaign on retail products. Moving to the other Italian channels we operate in, the declining sales you see at airport and in the other channels are due to our exit from non-performing stores. Vice versa, we saw the increase in sales of over 7% at railway stations, driven by good performance of new stores opened in 2013 and 14. Our decision to focus in Italy on returns, more than size, rewarded us in terms of profitability, with an EBITDA net of one-offs. I remember that that in 2013 we had a one-off of close to 14 million, so the decline is only determined by the one-offs. And in fact, eliminating this one-off, our EBITDA improved by 3%, notwithstanding the decline in sales, with the margin going from 5.6% to 6.1%. Improvement in both headquarters and store operating cost has allowed us to digest both the 3 million euro of additional rents generated by the motorways renewals for the period from July to December 2014 and some startup cost of about 1.5 million generated by the implementation of the SP1 project. Finally, looking at other countries in other European countries, sales increased by 4.3%. All channels grew. The most significant increase was registered on the railway channel, which grew by 12.7% thanks to the new openings in Madrid, Paris, and Belgium. Sales on motorways increased by over 4%, driven by our expansion in Belgium. At the airport, sales grew by 1.3% due to strong performance from our key airport in Brussels, Geneva, Zurich, and Athens that compensated the exit from the Balmulhouse airport. Globally, our operations in Europe, that is Italy and the other European countries, have generated an EBITDA of 99.6 million after the allocation of that part of our corporate cost that is more specifically addressed to this area. Until last year, we did not separate this cost from the headquarter ones, but we thought that this additional detail may be useful to have a more precise indication about our profitability in the area. So, summing everything up, these regional performances resulted in a group sales of 3.9 billion, with an increase of 1.6% compared to 2013, and an EBITDA of 316 million, with an increase of 5.9% compared to 2013, if we exclude from 2013 the contribution of the U.S. retail asset we sold to World Duty Free Group in the occasion of the demerger. Incidence on EBITDA, of EBITDA on sales has been 8%. It was 7.9% last in 2013. Now, moving below EBITDA, we see a reduction of about 28 million in amortization and depreciation due to lower capex and asset write-offs, and 6 million euro of lower financial charges, mainly due to the termination of 2013 of the effect of the interest rate swap wind-up. All these items caused our earnings before taxes to more than doubling to 77.2 million euro. The better situation of our European activities have contributed to a significant decrease of the implicit group corporate tax rate that in 2014 has been 41.6% compared to 50.4% in 2013. The rate is still relatively high due to our decision not to book for the deferred tax asset in Italy, on tax losses in Italy, due to the lack of visibility about the reasonable time frame for their utilization. So, having looked at our business, let's look at our cash flow. Net cash flow from operations increased significantly by 75 million to 223 million. This was in part due to the improvement in our performance and, more importantly, to the regained stability on our sales, which allow us to manage working capital more effectively. The stronger cash flow generation from the business and lower interest rates contributed to the reduction in interest paid. Net investment over the course of the year were 176 million, slightly below 2013, due to a delay in the completion of the investment. Finally, let me give you an update on current trading up to week 9. At constant exchange rates, our group sales were up 1% and up 9.8% at current exchange rate. Our North American sales were up by 2.1%, with U.S. airport growing by 3.9%. After a weaker than expected January, performance in February improved. International is performing very well, growing more than 26%, coupling stronger organic growth and new openings. Sales in Europe fell by 3.5%, due to sales in other European countries growing by 3.6% and sales in Italy falling by 7.9%. And the fall in Italy is just a reflection of the change in perimeter I mentioned before as a result of our selective renewal in 2013 on Italian motorways. You know, less location but more profitable. In Italy we had the opposite trend compared to North America. A good January and a softer February. At constant perimeters, food and beverage and market sales on toll motorways are evolving in line with the first available traffic data. As usual, the variation after so few weeks are not that meaningful, as they reflect a very short period, and it is too early to say how the year will go. We will give you our guidance as part of our first quarter results. Thank you.
Thank you, Alberto. And let me say my opinion about the 2014 and a little bit of flavor about what we are facing in 2015. From a number of different perspectives, after many years, it looks like the year ahead is set to be positive, due to the continuous improvement in the U.S. economy, the dollar strengthening, Europe that is stabilizing with a few signs of recovery, and important as well, the price of the oil that is lower than we experienced recently. Of course, we want to ride this wave of opportunity. Let me tell you how we see our group. We are the leader in our industry, significantly bigger than our competitors. We make more than 4 billion euro sales this year. We are leader in the key markets that are still US and Europe. We are working to establish leadership positions in the future markets. We have the largest and more valuable brand portfolio. And in addition, we have a very strong portfolio of concession. On average, the length is more than 7 years, grounded on airports, gradually diversifying into Asia and Middle East. And in the short term, expiring concession in Italy, which is an additional opportunity, as Alberto said, to reshape our portfolio. The fact that we have and will rationalize our portfolio does not stop us from winning new and renewing existing contracts. Landing on geographies that represent opportunities for us, I can say that in the U.S., where our business is based on the airport infrastructure, the passenger traffic is now above the pre-crisis level for the first time in many years, actually for the first time since 2007. And second, we are in a situation in which the airlines are still being very conservative in terms of improving capacity. So I think it's going to probably get better. Second, in Asia and Middle East, there is still a strong growth in the economies. There is still a very strong and important growth in demography, and the middle class is growing. New airports are being opened as part of a drive to develop infrastructures. 17 out of the 20 most important infrastructure airports projects are today undergoing these two regions. This leads us inevitably to an increase in traffic. Just to give you an idea, from 2010 to 2014, Asia grew more than 6%, and the Middle East close to 10% in terms of passengers. The last and important comment is on the Italian motorways. The traffic, even in Italy, is more stable than. So it's not declining anymore, at least. That's an important achievement. And second, the government has taken the first steps to improve the flexibility of the labor and the concession market with the Job Act and the new Atto di Indirizzo that I don't know how to translate in English, but is the first step to rationalize the presence of the motorway network in Italy. Now, let me guide you how we will capture, how we think we will capture these opportunities with a clear and focused strategy for each region. For North America, I think we are going to strengthen our position in the airports because we have few relevant renewals in the near future, and all the major contracts are extending and are behind us. Second, despite our leadership and our size in the U.S., as you see, we still have important and material room to grow our operation in the U.S. because there is still a lot of concession in the food and beverage that we don't operate. Echoing what Alberto said before, we are fine-tuning now also our model, operational model, to increase margins in a growing environment. We have room to improvement in the cost of goods sold, in the labor cost, and we are streamlining our organization under the leadership of two veterans that you probably are familiar with. One is Steve Johnson, the other one is Silvano Del Negro, that used to be our chief strategy officer, sorry. Second, the international. International, we are expanding our presence and growing sales at the airports in two ways. The first is growing the existing base of the business. And so we are growing our sales where we are already, like in Vietnam. The second way is entering new geographies. As you've seen, you know, we just finalized another important contract in Indonesia, and soon we will add something more in a very important market. Looking at Europe, in 2014, it has been a very important year for the extension and renewal of many contracts, especially in Italy. We started with 41 locations up for renewal, with about under 70 million sales, and we ended up with 21 locations awarded, with a total sales of under 20 million, so 70% of retention. But this was due to our very selective and focused approach, in which we are basically, this is a sort of slogan, investing more in less locations, in the location, of course, in which we think we have the highest potential. Focusing our attention on return on investment rather than size. And this is an undergoing project because we will continue to rationalize our portfolio in Italy, further throughout all the renewals in 2015 and 2016. Now, not only we are working on rationalization of the portfolio, but we are working hard also on the operations. Of course, we are familiar, everybody's, I think, I hope, is familiar with this famous SP1 project. And now Ezio Ballarini is our Chief Marketing Officer, will give us a little bit of flavor, you know, about what's going on in our operations.
Thank you, Gianmario, and good afternoon to all of you. I just will update you today on where we stand with the SP1 activity. SP1, it's a real game changer for us. We have made a significant step forward, achieving most of the expected results, even we have still a lot of things to do. We have a clear plan ahead for activities not yet completed. Allow me to say that, like Rome wasn't built in a day, SP1 results don't come overnight, so it takes a little bit. In reality, it was 2012 when we realized that things were changing a lot. Both traffic and consumption habits were changing and having an important impact on the certainty of our sales. We weren't set at that time with the flexibility we needed to adapt to these changes. The processes we had in place had been conceived in times where traffic was constantly growing and any fluctuation of it were predictable. The changes we experienced in last years made it very difficult for us to predict the fluctuation and the frequency of those fluctuations, and led to our processes becoming, in a way, a little bit obsolete, and our operation to become less efficient than they were before. We needed to act, and we did it also with SP1. I say SP1 is a game changer. It is not just a change in production model. We passed from a local to a central model where production, stock management, and many other activities are now managed centrally, while before were managed at store level. We made deep changes involving product demand planning with a radical change from pull to push ordering and delivering model. Similar to what large retailers do, including, for instance, Marks & Spencer Simply Food. This involved heavily operation that has to become accustomed to the new ordering and stock cycle management. The second element, sorry, involved is for sure category management. Planning in advance the impact of assortment choices on profit and loss is one of the key milestone of this activity. Producing in a factory, in fact, now we can not only determine the volumes produced of each item, but also decide when to have them in our stores and steer in this way the profit and loss. Staffing at POS was another element we reworked. We reviewed the schedules store by store, shift by shift, to adapt them to the new production model, down to number of working hours and contract types. This led to a reduction of 450,000 working hours based on a full year. Logistics has been modified as well, from two central warehouses to multiple distribution centers to ensure at the same time quality of the products and reduce delivery times. Finally, for sure, the production. Today, 50 million sandwiches are now produced in central location on a total of 20 million eligible sandwiches. Also, we introduced new technologies for some categories, like for instance, fruit salad or pasta, and some of them are really the state-of-the-art for those category of products. I say we have made significant stride forward, even we still have more to do with SP1. SP1 applied here in Italy on two main concept, snack and chow, as you may remember. About snack, where we are. Now rollout for snack is completed for the 96% of eligible store. We are still missing small stores and non-tall network here in Italy. This is due to the adaptation to this system to small volumes. Anyway, those stores have a limited impact, being a small one to the total results. Nevertheless, we have not yet reached our target on speed of innovation, mainly due to higher complexity in deployment that we had expected, and to delays in finalizing a new product with the desired quality level. You remember one of the points we had in SP1 was to keep the quality level as high as we had. Anyway, a specific team has been deployed today to address those points. Also, logistics was more complex than we expected, leading to slightly higher cost than expected and to a slight delay in timing in the rollout. Going now to Ciao. About Ciao, we rolled out 11 stores out of the 120 locations in total we have. We record positive results in those 11 stores, exceeding even initial expectations. But still, we are 6 to 8 months behind the schedule in the rollout for two reasons mainly. Longer development time of the new technology needed for SP1 products in the Ciao concept, and longer time to revise the labor scheduling in a concept like Ciao, which is a little bit more complex than Bar or Snacks. Resetting the people and the management routine at POS to adapt to SP1 takes time. Now, which are the key activities to complete the rollout for those two concepts? The extension to all Ciao stores and motorway channel will be done by quarter two 2015, so say 6 months later than what we expected. And on the rest of the network, that means the remaining town and shopping mall stores after the summer, just after the summer. And concerning snack, we will complete the non-toll network and the remaining stores in downtown and shopping malls also in Q2. We will finally extend to the rest of the network, to the franchising network we have by the end of the year. But back to the genesis of SP1. We say that we initiated the transformation to better adapt our organization to the changing environment, to gain flexibility, to modify our behavior in operation, to increase our capabilities, and to dedicate more time to service and less time to production. As we work on the rollout of the program, we also become aware of other areas we need to modify. Take Ciao as an example. Since we introduced SP1 in the 11 stores, sales in the evenings, so in the evening day part, have grown by 11%. And this is thanks to us now being able to have a complete offer in all day parts, so also in the evening part. Managing better the productivity in low sales day parts. Another example comes from the success we had with fruit salads, which before were a labor-intensive product produced in-store. We have seen penetration of fruit salads up to 3 percentage points in Ciao and up to 1.7 point in percentage in snack. Keep in mind that the preparation of a fruit salad is a very labor-intensive process, requiring a sanitized location, requiring cutting of the fruit and selection of the fruit at store level. And the most important thing is that without the control we now have with SP1, reassortment was left to the initiative of the store, which often ran out of product, simply. Today, reassortment is pushed, and stores do not have to add labor to their scheduling to prepare fruit salad. Very basic and simple things, but effective. Additionally, thanks to the research and development, the product reaches really high standards of quality, not regularly guaranteed by local preparation in a lot of stores. And additionally, we manage today the cost centrally, changing the composition of, example, the fruit salad according to season. So again, managing the P&L across the year. About sandwiches, another example about sandwiches and their mixing sales. Before SP1, each store could arrange, allow me to say, its assortment according to its beliefs or its routines. Today, assortment is pushed by the center. This means that this is always allowed to have a complete assortment at store level. Two main results as an example. One of our most profitable products here in Italy, which is called Bufalino, where the mozzarella buffalo, wasn't exploited before SP1 due to the complex preparation process it was requiring. We could not control in details its presence and the quantity we produced store by store. Today, with the introduction of SP1, we have a better mixed presence of this product of 4 percentage points on our total mix of sandwiches, with evident advantages in terms of sales and margins. And this is just thanks to the reassortment managed centrally and not at local at level of the store. Something similar happened also with other products. Another historical product of Autogrill is called Fattoria, and this is increasing now almost one percentage point is incidence on the total of the sandwiches. But we also, with SP1, delivered in terms of waste and losses, waste of product and losses. This sort of just-in-time store replenishment and modularity of the packaging in which we deliver the product have already halved the waste in terms of products. So, in conclusion, we believe really that SP1 is a true game changer and not only a production technique. And initial results confirm this point. Even for sure, we have a lot of things more to do.
Thank you, Alessio. In conclusion, two messages. I think we delivered results in line with the expectation. We are taking steps forward, so we are improving our organization as we heard from Alessio. And the scenario, and it's not up to us, but finally we get there. You know, the scenario is looking better than before, at least better than the last 6 years. So for now, we take your questions. Thank you for your attention.
Good morning. I'm Cristoltoni from Fidera Bank, actually. I'm just wondering why you propose to have until 5% of a share buyback instead of eventually pay a dividend, considering that the liquidity on the stock is not so much high, actually. If one buy, normally don't come very easy to me to buy in size, actually. So there is some special reason for this 5% share buyback or what? Thank you.
No, the proposal of the board is to some extent ritual in the sense that we always have a resolution that has a sort of time maturity. So it has to be reiterated just in order to have. It's not a program with a definite will of buying back shares. So I think that we want to have, but it will be operated and decided in case by case, if needed.
Okay. But you don't buy share, you don't have a dividend.
We don't pay dividend in this case, and we have the opportunity, and we will decide. There is not already a program in place. That doesn't mean that we will not. We promise that you won't don't buy, but we have the opportunity.
Okay.
Francesco Sala, Banca Akros. We have two questions, very simple. The first one, guidance on capital expenditure in 2015, and if this, let me say, item is related to, also related to the winning of a new contract. And secondly, I'm wondering whether you can share with us more details on your projects in Asia in terms of new contracts. And in this case, again, I'm just trying to understand what we can expect in the short term and what countries are for you the most interesting ones. Many, many thanks.
We don't give the guidance of 2015, so thank you for asking, but it's too early. No, because we do it normally, as you know, after the first quarter. The second question, I think, you know, we are as you see, we got an important base in Vietnam now, and we are expanding in Indonesia. I would like not to tell you what we are doing, you know, but announce something. And but of course, Asia is, as you see, Asia and Middle East are in our thoughts. You know, it's an important region in which we have already an established base. We are moving people, hiring people there, established micro headquarters, you know, in Asia and in the Middle East, and they are working well. I think soon we're going to see some of these things coming together. That's interesting, you know. You see our expansion, so we are moving, learning also the market, you know, because we are starting with small operations just to understand where we are getting into. And that's basically the trend of international. So you see from four countries to basically 17, something like that, you know, but concentrated around some regions, in some regions. One is in Middle East, the other one is in Far East. And, of course, Northern Europe, that is still an important part of our business.
Yeah, if I could only add one element, consider that out of these 17 countries where we are today, there are countries in which we have just entered, like Finland. We have won the contract in Helsinki, but we have to generate most of the upside in 2015, in fact, because we have only very limited impact on 2014. So in principle, the target for international is to consolidate on those countries. So there are a lot of opportunities. So I would expect that in 2015, we are looking at a few other countries, but I don't expect that there will be many other countries added, because there is a lot of room for improving and expanding the business in the countries we are.
Lustig, Equita. I have three questions. The first one is on the performance in the first 9 weeks of 2015. About Italy, if I understand well, your point was that more or less we are at zero growth, let's say, or stable, excluding the concession that had been closed, but I wanted to check this. While I wanted also some comment on this in growth of 2.1% in US, if is quite in line with traffic trends, or if there is something to be added to this number. The second point is on the international operations of HMS. You commented that there is the highest margin there. And I wonder if there is a simple reason such as lower rent, I don't know, or if there is some lesson to be learned from that in terms of productivity or other elements, so if you can add some comments on that. And finally, on working capital trend, there was a big improvement and swing in Q3, and still a very positive improvement at full year, but more normalized trend. So I want to comment all in all what happened and what is a regular trend in your opinion for the coming period. Thank you.
You're welcome.
But Italy, you are right. I think if you take the existing base of the location, basically sales and traffic are even. In the U.S., generally speaking, what I can tell you is too early to say something about 2015 in terms of traffic because, you know, just to give you an idea, the U.S. was stormed really by I don't know, meters of snow, you know, shutting down airports. So, you know, in 1 month, you get also lower month probably of the year. So lower, the beginning of the first quarter is the lower, you know, in the so, you know, it's not comparable. What I can tell you is that, you know, if we look February, you know, the trend, our sales are building up, so I'm quite positive that, and generally speaking, it's too early to say. The profitability of the emerging markets, unfortunately or fortunately, is not like you. Like, there are very few learnings to take away, you know, a lot of learnings, but very few that we can apply in other situations. The rent is, generally speaking, again, we are making a general statement, is higher. What is very positive is that basically you have a customer or you sell with a high price in an environment that is evolved, if you want, emerged, you know, with the cost of labor that is much lower than the rest of the world, and we're still in the emerging market, in the emerging market ballpark, you know. So that's where the profitability is coming from. And of course, you are competing with locals, generally speaking, rather than big companies. So it's a market that is evolving, and that's why it's so profitable. Our competitive advantage is that we have a strong know-how in terms of, and also we bring the international flavor, brands, an expertise that is probably not as easy to find in this market. I don't know if you, the third question, yes.
Yeah, the third question regarding the working capital. I think that, well, in general, as you know, our best quarter is the third quarter. So in general, we generate a lot of cash in the third quarter, and we generate also more sales in the quarter. That means that in general, this is helpful for our working capital. So it's normal that the last quarter stabilize a bit the performance. That is positive. We don't generate an enormous cash out of the working capital in general. The amount of the positive cash generated by the working capital normally is not that big in both senses. So the most important element to predict the generation in the working capital is, in fact, to be precise on the top line. If the top line grows, in general, you may assume that you may generate few, say, €20 million out of the working capital, not that much given our size. If your sales are going down, you may eat an amount like that, or even in some cases, even a bit more, like we had in the last 2 years in Italy, because the reduction was sharp and quick, and also because it arrives a point in which you have also some inefficiency from a VAT standpoint that may increase the size of your burn rate in terms of working capital. But I think that if the situation is stable, there is no reason why we cannot repeat and we cannot consolidate the recovery in working capital in the next years.
A follow-up on the first question on the U.S. Specifically. If I remember well, at the time of Q3, you commented on the U.S. good pricing environment, but not fully satisfied in terms of volume, so number of tickets. I would like an update on what was the trend in Q4 on this specific element. Thank you.
Well, globally, we have had in 2014 an increase in transactions. So the improvement in our U.S. airport has not been driven only by mix and average ticket. It has been also related to transactions. It is true that the increase in the number of transactional tickets is not probably completely matching the increase in sales. And this is also in part also due to the fact of some residual impact on the fracturing, because the fracturing, in fact, is limiting your stores and is in many cases in a situation in which the total offer in the airport has increased. I was mentioning before that one of the issues that fracturing implies is the fact that you run the risk to have overcapacity in airports. That means that at the end, your ability to your capture rate may decline because there is too many offer. But having said that, I think that we have seen some improvement now. So I am positive that we can start again to build up not only in terms of value, that to some extent has been logical, because we tend to forget that prices of raw material have increased in 2014 by around 3% in U.S. So it is quite logical that you have some impact on the prices because you had to recover that inflation. But having said that, I think that we are struggling in order to improve or to increase also the number of tickets. It's the basic then to have the leverage.
Okay. Thank you very much for coming here. Have a nice evening.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is over. Thank you for calling.